Colts, Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Welcome back. This is our fifth segment about the IBLP, exposing the reality, the accusations that have been made against them, and the very foundations on which they operate in the world we all share, and the brainwashing that they have done to thousands of people through their coercive control that they call a religion, in my opinion. We're going to talk about IBLP's political reach, financial empire, legal battles, and why it still matters in this piece. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section. The link is in the description. Bill Gothard had a plan for the children of his religion. Not just to raise them inside his belief system, to deploy them. He called it the Joshua generation. The concept was simple and deeply ambitious. Take the best and the brightest kids from his homeschooling network, children who had been trained from birth inside his framework of absolute obedience, patriarchal authority, and biblical governance, and send them into government, law, and politics to reshape America from the inside out. They become senators, judges, Supreme Court justices. They would carry the doctrine straight into the halls of power and use it to rebuild the country in the image of Gothard's seven principles. It wasn't a dream. It was a strategy with infrastructure behind it and powerful allies backing it. This wasn't a fringe fantasy whispered in prayer groups. It was an operational agenda supported by some of the most recognized names in American conservative politics. Mike fucking Huckabee. That's his middle name. Did you know that? Mike fucking Huckabee. Former governor of Arkansas. Presidential candidate. Father to that comedic thing that was once a press secretary and now a governor. That he calls a daughter. And one of the most prominent figures in evangelical media maintained a close relationship with both Gothard and the Duggar family. He publicly defended Josh Duggar after the allegations became public, going so far as to berate a woman on the campaign trail who challenged his support. Remember that? There's a YouTube video out about it. Someone who questions him, and then he berates her. You know, for saying, hey, it's a little weird to be behind the guy that's got the family that practices this stuff. You don't know him. Yeah, apparently you don't either. Unless you're in on it, Mike. Are you? I don't know. I'm not saying you are, but it's a weird thing to, like, not at the least distance yourself from, but you're going to back it up. You're going to be like, rah-rah team. Okay, Mike. Whatever. Rick Perry, former governor of Texas and later a federal cabinet secretary, spoke at an ATI conference in Big Sandy, Texas. Sarah Palin, you know that winner, while serving as mayor of Wallissa, Alaska, attended multiple IBLP conferences, at least one of them reportedly funded with city money, you know, when she saw her, she could see Russia while she was at the conference. Sonny Perdue. Former governor of Georgia credited Gothard and IBLP as among the most influential forces in his life, second only to the Bible itself. It's amazing what you can get people to say when you give them a lot of money, isn't it? These weren't casual associations or conference circuit name drops. These were public endorsements from elected officials who lent their credibility to their platforms, to an organization that was simultaneously teaching families that questioning authority was spiritually equivalent to witchcraft, and leaving the organization structure exposed you to
Satan's direct attack.
Yeah. If you're having a moment here and you're going, well, I like those people. Maybe you should think. Maybe you're like, why do people not like them? Well, here's why. Here's why. Because they get behind shit like this. And the rest of us see it for what it is. But because they insert the word God and Jesus into things, then so many folks are just like, well, it must be good, right? And then the second somebody speaks up against it, like, this is questionable. Oh, you must hate the Lord. No, I just hate people that bastardize the Lord. And people who are too stupid to notice, who are too stupid and go down the path and, oh, we were bamboozled, we were led astray. No, you just didn't pay fucking attention. The institutional connections went deeper than conference appearances. A United States Congressman, Sam Johnson from Texas, formerly chaired the IBLP board and recognized the organization from the House floor. The insurance commissioner of Georgia was both at ATI homeschooling, an ATI homeschooling father, and an IBLP board member. Former Indianapolis mayor Stephen Goldsmith didn't just attend events. He partnered directly with Gothard to establish the Indianapolis Training Center, selling a city-owned building to IBLP for a token dollar around 1993. The Goldsmith connection deserves a hard look because it showed how IBLP embedded itself inside government operations. At the Indianapolis Training Center, staff members, many of them minors from other states, some paid nominal salaries by the nonprofit, others actually paying for the educational privilege of working for free. Let me pay you to be your slave labor. Assisted the mayor's campaign for governor. They ran a mailing center from the top floor of the building. They handed out campaign literature at polling places on election day. Some registered to vote in Marion County specifically to support Goldsmith's candidacy. After his gubernatorial bid failed, Goldsmith went to Washington. George W. Bush made him his chief domestic policy advisor. Remember when George Bush was the worst of the worst? Now it's like, oh, I miss those days. Where he helped formulate the president's faith-based initiatives, the federal program that directed taxpayer dollars to religious organizations. Follow that chain. A mayor sells a building to IBLP for a dollar. Miners inside that building work on political campaigns. A lot of them for free. That mayor goes on to shape federal policy funding religious groups. The pipeline from Gothard's training centers to political power wasn't theoretical. It was built, and it was used. The financial infrastructure behind all of it was enormous and deliberately opaque. IBLP is a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit that has never voluntarily released its financial information. As of 2006, a report, the organization had earned approximately $63 million. It operated a vast portfolio of properties, a 223-acre compound in Hillsdale, Illinois, that served as its headquarters for decades. The Big Sandy campus in East Texas, originally a college facility purchased by Hobby Lobby founder David Green, and provided to IBLP. Northwoods Conference Center on 3,000 acres in rural Michigan, plus facilities in Indianapolis, Oklahoma, Arkansas, California, and operations in over a dozen counties, or countries, rather, including an orphanage in Russia. David Green's involvement was not peripheral. The Hobby Lobby founder, I know, I don't want to give you another reason not to go to Hobby Lobby. Sometimes it's the only place that has the decorations you want. And you're like, God, I don't want to go in here because it... I know. The Hobby Lobby founder purchased the Big Sandy property, attended IBLP conferences, spoke alongside Gothard at events, and was featured in the organization's media platforms. He wasn't just a nice little Christian guy that, you know, harmless. Some people are like really vehemently opposed to that store. Consider this. Now, he's welcome to have his opinions. I'm not saying anything criminal or anything like that. I'm just saying, okay, you have views that align very closely with the people that we've been talking about and the monsters that they appear to be. Or at least their monstrous activities and ways of thinking and course of control and all of that. Yeah, I don't know, maybe not somebody I necessarily want to do business with. Or buy faux floral arrangements from around the holidays. His organization provided material infrastructure for IBLP's expansion during the movement's peak years. The intersection of one of America's most visible retail empires and one of the most controversial religious organizations is not a footnote in this story. It is a structural pillar. The money, the property, the public credibility that corporate allies provided made the machine possible. Josh Duggar's political career was the most publicly visible product of the Joshua generation and that pipeline. Raised inside IBLP, educated through ATI, shaped by a system that treated political engagement as a spiritual mandate, Josh moved from reality television directly to the executive director position at FRC Action, the political arm of the Family Research Council. He lobbied Congress on behalf of conservative Christian family values, while cameras followed his family's seemingly wholesome life on national television. The image was deliberate. The Duggars weren't just followers of IBLP, they were the movement's public relations campaign. Proof that the system produced happy, faithful, large families who loved God and loved America. Sounds lovely on paper until you actually look at how they're operating. And according to federal prosecutors, while Josh occupied that role as a public advocate for family values, he was engaging in conduct that would ultimately result in his conviction on charges related to child CSAM material, some of it depicting the abuse of children younger than 12. He's currently serving approximately 12 and a half years in federal prison. His appeal was denied. The poster child for the system became the system's most damning evidence. When you're only making decisions inside your bubble of insanity, you make bad choices. And you think that you can take these people who are coercively raised, basically, brainwashed from birth, and then go, hey, go out there and handle the world's problems. Go be a lobbyist for this or that. And they can't function because they don't know how the world works. They only know these certain things and the rest of the world's trying to interact with them. It goes to shit. You didn't prepare them for the real world. You prepared them for living in your bubble. And if you want them to go infiltrate the real world, you better prepare them for it. That's an oversight. That's the biggest oversight of the IBLP cult, in my opinion. The legal infrastructure that protected IBLP families from outside scrutiny was built largely through the efforts of the Homeschool League Defense Associate, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. It's a thing. Led by Michael Ferris, HSLDA fought aggressively and effectively to ensure that homeschooling families across the country faced minimal state oversight. No mandatory curriculum standards, no regular testing requirements in many states, and limited mandatory reporting obligations. Why would we want to make sure that our children are being educated when they're being homeschooled? What a crazy idea. Might people get crazy ideas and teach their children crazy things if we don't overlook this? No. Oh, wait, you're all doing that. And that's the exact purpose of this. So nobody looks at you and go, yeah, that's abuse. The practical effect was the families operating inside IBLP's system could educate their children exclusively with the wisdom booklets, skip standardized assessments entirely, and avoid the kind of external check that might have flagged educational neglect or abuse or identified children in abusive situations. The legal shield wasn't a side benefit of the homeschooling movement. For organizations like IBLP, it was essential infrastructure. Without it, the closed system couldn't function. And where does the organization stand right now? Well, IBLP is still a registered nonprofit. Its headquarters are located along U.S. Highway 80 east of Big Sandy, Texas. The organization maintains the Northwoods Conference Center in Michigan. Gothard Seminar recordings remain available for purchase through its subscription media platform. The teachings have not been formally renounced. The doctrine has not been revised or retracted. Gothard has been removed from leadership, but the ideas, see, authored, continue to circulate through the system. He constructed these, and the families who absorbed them. The financial trajectory has been downward since the scandal broke. IRS filings available through watchdog organizations show that since Gothard's departure, IBLP has consistently reported more expenses than revenue and a steady decline in total assets. The seminars that once filled arenas with tens of thousands of people are now their archived recordings behind a paywall. Can't quite fill up the local La Quinta. The empire is contracting, but it's not closed. And the properties, the media library, the nonprofit status remain in place. Infrastructure waiting to be revived if the right movement or cult leader arrives. The most significant legal development in the organization's recent history came in 2025 when the Texas Supreme Court ruled that a lawsuit against Gothard and IBLP could proceed. The case was brought by two women, Phoebe Merritt and Abigail Doughty, who alleged that from approximately 1996 through 2011, they were subjected to S abuse by family members. Their legal argument is unlike anything previously attempted against the organization. They allege that IBLP constitutes a cult, that its teachings were designed to groom girls to be available to S assault, and that Gothard and the organization participated in a civil conspiracy that created and maintained the conditions under which their abuse occurred. Gothard and IBLP tried to get the case dismissed by invoking the ecclesiastical abstination doctrine, arguing that ruling on the case would require a court to evaluate whether their teachings are biblically sound, which they say the First Amendment prohibits. The majority disagreed and allowed the case to move forward. It remains pending. And if you've watched this entire series now on the IBLP, I don't know how you could come to any other conclusion. If you were a healthy brain and someone who is thinking clearly, in my opinion, that case represents something new in the legal landscape. It creates a framework for arguing that an organization's doctrine can itself be a mechanism of harm, not just a belief system that people followed and get bad ends, but a system intentionally structured to produce the conditions under which abuse becomes predictable rather than accidental. If the case succeeds, it would establish that the religious organizations or that religious organizations can be held liable not just for what their leaders did, but for what their teachings were designed to do. That's a legal distinction with implications far beyond the IBLP and a long time coming. The broader ecosystem that IBLP helped build does not depend on any single organization for its survival. Christian fundamentalism's intersection with political power, homeschooling without meaningful oversight, and patriarchal family structures protected by religious liberty arguments has a momentum of its own. The movement adapted when Gothard fell. It adapted when the Duggars lost their platform. The networks persisted. The funding streams found new channels. The ideology, the core belief that America must be reclaimed for God through the infiltration of government, the courts, and education, didn't disappear with one leader's disgrace. It simply found new spokespeople and new packaging. The roots Gothard planted decades ago are still producing fruit, and not all of it is visible from the outside, which is exactly how the movement prefers it. The pattern of allegations within IBLP-connected families continues to surface in March of 26. We now know this. Joseph Duggar. Pulled a Duggar. Another son raised inside the system was arrested on felony charges in Florida after a minor disclosed alleged during a family vacation. We've been talking about it. That's what kind of led us here. According to the arrest affidavit, he allegedly made admissions to both the victim's father and the detectives. He's presumed innocent and faces legal proceedings, but the allegation arrives in a context that by now feels like less of an isolated incident and more like a system generating predictable outcomes. Not because the faith is the problem, but because the specific structures built around that faith were designed to prevent accountability and suppress the voices of people most likely to be harmed. Bill Gothard is now 91 years old. He has never been criminally charged. He has denied all the allegations. He continues to post about biblical principles online as he waits for the Grim Reaper to show up and take him
to the depths of hell.
In my opinion, the teachings he authored still circulate. And the survivors, the ones who escaped, who rebuilt their lives from the foundation up, who testified, who filed lawsuits, wrote books, who built support networks for others still finding their way out. If anyone's building a support network for people finding their way out from your fucking ideas, there's a fiery pit waiting for you. Those survivors are still waiting for a reckoning that the legal system has been slow to deliver. This is not a historical story. IBLP is still in existence. Its materials are still available. Its doors are still open. The broader movement it helped construct did not end when Gothard stepped down. It did not collapse when the Duggars were canceled. It did not stop when 34 women came forward with allegations. The machine is still running. And the people it harmed, the women who came forward, the children who grew up inside it, the families who are still trying to put themselves back together, they didn't bring it down. They survived it. They spoke about it. And in many cases, the system punished them for doing so. But the machine kept going. The question this series leaves you with is, who is responsible for what it produces next? Because it will produce something. Systems built to suppress questioning, eliminate outside oversight, and centralize authority in the hands of the unaccountable always do. The only variable is whether anyone is watching when the next one happens. And now you know the rest of the story. Why are people so harsh on the Duggars? Why are they so harsh? There. Listen to all five of those episodes about this, and you may have your mind opened a little bit. It's not just people blindly attacking religion or God, or like everybody wants to get on that. It's not that at all. It's attacking coercive control and assholes who like to use Jesus as a way to take control over other people's bodies, to take control over their minds, to take control over all of their autonomy, all because an umbrella and God. There's nothing in the fucking Bible about umbrellas or Gothard or any of this shit. This is all created by man. And guess what? The Bible even says, man's kind of evil. Unless, of course, they ask for forgiveness. You know, like Jim Bob says, as long as Joseph asked for forgiveness, you know, God still loves you. And maybe that's true. That's what it says in the Bible. What about the folks like this? What about Gothard? He's probably going to go to his grave believing every single thing he did is right and justified and never truly does ask for forgiveness because his narcissistic delusions prevent it. What does that mean? Where's he going to end up? It's a fair question. Again, not accusing him of any illegal activity, anything, man. All opinion. These are allegations. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue the conversation there. Next week, another cult that we will dive into. Are you ready for FLDS? We got some Warren Jeffs coming your way next, kids. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something, but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too. Because where you get your information matters.